What a blessing it is to be able to be here. What a blessing it is to be able to see so many encouraging faces. And I'd really like to again thank the Mobile College Ministry. I appreciate Rob and Andrea and their leadership in that and those who do support and help them. But I was a student at Faulkner University, and I love Faulkner University. It's a Christian college. I'm privileged to serve on the board there now. And I was a Bible major there, and I had other friends that were Bible majors. And we would look around on Sundays and say, "Hey, where's so-and-so? Where's so-and-so?" And the joke became, and it really wasn't a joke, but they were attending the Box Springs Church of Christ, meaning they were asleep. And so that was at a Christian college with Bible majors. And here you guys are away from home, most of you, and you know, you're not at Christian colleges, and you decided this morning to get up and come to a church you may not have ever been to, and come to Sunday school and be here for worship. And that means a lot. It means a lot to me, and it encourages me that we have a ministry like that in Mobile. So Rob, thank you guys for what you're doing. Walk for Water is coming up, and the Walk for Water, Colton Scott has usually come here a couple times, and he's told us before, and I can never get out of my mind those images of that little girl in that mud hole where animals are, and animals are defecating and everything else in, and she's getting water just to take back so they can drink. You know, we take for granted how important water is. We take for granted how much water we have. You think about how many bottles of water that we have in our possession, even at home, and we can go to the tap and still get clean, running water. In 1996, there was a man by the name of Joey Mora. He was standing on an aircraft carrier platform when all of a sudden he lost his balance and fell into the Iranian Sea. Even though people realized that Joey was on the aircraft carrier, I guess there were a lot of folks there. They did not realize he was gone from the aircraft carrier until 36 hours later. So the search and rescue mission began. 36 hours had passed since they realized Joey Mora was missing. Well, then in the search and rescue, they went another 24 more hours, and they decided that no one could survive without a life jacket in those seas for more than 60 hours. So they called the search off. Joey's parents were notified. Joey is missing and presumed dead. However, four Pakistani fishermen found Joey some 72 hours later. They found him asleep or in a state of lost consciousness, still treading water, clinging to a makeshift flotation device that he had made from the very pants that he was wearing. Joey, after being rescued, went through interview after interview after interview. And they asked Joey what kept him, even in that state of unconsciousness, sleep, whatever it may have been, what kept him treading water in such extreme circumstances for so long? His first answer was his faith in God. His second answer was his desire to be with family. His third answer was his incredible thirst for water. I've never been that thirsty. There have been times I thought I have, but I've never treaded water for hours upon hours upon hours just to stay alive,
clinging to my faith in God, my hope to see my family, and that I really need a drink of water. I know after sporting events, I've been thirsty. Maybe after you worked in the yard or worked all day, you've been thirsty. I've never been that thirsty, but I do know what it's like to want water, desire water. And I believe all of us have in common that we do desire and need water. Joey Mora needed water. That young lady in that slideshow that Colton shows us for Walk for Water, she and her family need water. You know who else needed water? A Samaritan woman found in John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, I don't have a TV or this, so I can't. In John chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, that is a great passage of Scripture that reminds us of exactly what is going on in Jesus' life. Jesus is trying to get the message out, isn't He? He's trying to allow others to see what He is trying to deliver to them. And so in John 4, we have these words, "Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus Himself did not baptize, but His disciples." Verse 3, "He left Judea and departed again to Galilee, but He needed to go through Samaria." You see, He had to go through Samaria. You know why He had to go through Samaria? It was a divine appointment. Jesus could have gone around any way He needed to go. He could have probably just snapped His fingers and appeared somewhere. He was talking to those men on the road to Emmaus that we talked about a few weeks ago, and He was having dinner with them, and He just disappeared. He's walked through walls and showed up in crowds. Jesus could have done anything He wanted to do. He could have gone around any way He wanted to go around. It was not geographically necessary for Jesus to go through Samaria, but He told those that were with Him, "I have to go to Samaria." You see, in John 4, 5 and 6, we have these words. "So He came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph." Now, Jacob's well was there. "Jesus, therefore, being wearied from His journey, sat thus by the well." It was about the sixth hour, or noon, that day. You see, Jesus knew that Jacob's well was there. Jesus knew that there was a lady coming there from Samaria that was going to draw water. The root word of providence is provide. Just like Joey Mora needed water, just like that young lady in that slideshow that Colton presents needed water, just like you and me physically need water, more importantly than it all, just like that lady from Samaria, we need living water. We need His water. And Jesus knew that this was going to be a critical moment in the history of the world. And so He told His disciples, they didn't understand it certainly, but He told His disciples, "I must go through Samaria." Because this was just going to happen to be the time that Jesus gets tired and He sits by Jacob's well right when that Samaritan woman is coming to draw water. Now, the rest of this story. Here's some things that we need to understand about this lady. First of all, she was alone. when she came in verses 7 and 8, when she came to the well to draw this water, she came by herself. Why? Have you ever thought about why? You know, I see what Colton shows us in this, in the Walk for Water, and he talks about how a lot of times the ladies would go because the men would be out. Perhaps that was why, right? Perhaps she was the one. But why did she come at this time of the day? Why did she come alone? Perhaps because the other women that came to draw the water had excluded her. Perhaps she came alone because others around her had been gossiping about her. Perhaps she came alone because others had turned their back on her. But for whatever reason it was, and I do not know the reason, she, the Samaritan woman, comes to this well to carry these heavy buckets of water alone. Perhaps there are some today that have come to the well to drink from Jesus Christ. Maybe you've come to the church. Maybe you've come to this assembly today and you have come feeling alone. Maybe you have felt that others have excluded you. Maybe you have felt betrayed. Maybe you have been gossiped about. Maybe you have been left out of a group, or you're alone in general. The good news about all of this, with this lady at the well, she was not alone. She came to the well alone, but because Jesus had to go through Samaria, and He had to go to this well, and He got tired right then and there, and He sat by that well, this lady walked up, but she wasn't alone anymore. Because Jesus was at the well. Jesus is still at the well. Jesus is still waiting on you. He is still waiting on me. He's waiting on us to come and drink from His living water. If you walked in alone, you will walk out with the greatest crowd you can walk out with, led by Jesus Christ. But that's not all that we learn about this lady. We learn that she also had walls. Why would this lady walk the distance it took to get to this well at the heat of the day? Why would she come? Why wouldn't she go early in the morning? Why would she wait till all these hours had passed and she would come at the heat of the day? See, most women that came to the well to draw water, they came in the early morning hours. Perhaps she came at this time because the village news was talked about in the morning hours. Maybe they got around the well and they talked about who's getting married, who's pregnant, who's having marriage problems, whose children have been misbehaving. Perhaps this lady herself had been the subject of them who have been gossiping about what's going on in the village. I don't really know why she chose. I just have to assume there was a reason why she didn't come like others would have. Maybe she didn't come at this time because she had been a victim of racism. The Jews and Samaritans certainly did not get along. They certainly did not like each other. In fact, it had been a battle with one another, Jews and Samaritans, for hundreds upon hundreds of years now. Maybe she had been a victim of this type of racism and this type of discussion in the past. Maybe she came at noon because no one would talk to her anymore. You see, we're going to learn a lot about her life, aren't we? We're going to learn a lot about things and choices that she had made that were not good choices. And that we know she's a little bit ashamed of them because she doesn't tell the truth. I don't know what all the reasons are, but here's what I do believe. I believe because of this, she had put up walls. Now, I need you to remember at the beginning of this, we talked about Jesus in verse 4 of John 4. He had to go through Samaria. He happened to get tired at Jacob's well at just the time this lady was going to come and draw water. That was not an accident. That was providence. She came to the well alone, but Jesus was there, so she wasn't alone anymore. Now she's come to the well with walls. Perhaps because no one would even talk to her anymore. But you know who talked to her that day? Jesus talked to her. By Jesus asking her for a drink of water, you know what He did to that lady or for that lady? He tore down some of those high walls that this woman had put up in her life. He didn't build a wall, He built a bridge. And because He built the bridge, He's able to explain to this lady some important things that affects us for the rest of our lives. You see, Jesus is willing to tear down walls of separation, isn't He? In fact, what happened at the crucifixion? A lot of things, right? But the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. You remember the Holy of Holies, right? You remember the tabernacle, especially as they wandered in the wilderness. They would set up tents and they would set up this area that was called the Holy Place. The Holy Place was a tent, and you would go through one, and there would be the table of showbread and different things in the Holy Place, but then there was a curtain. And behind that curtain was the Holy of Holies. And in the Holy of Holies was the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant sat there with cherubim on the corners of it, and in between the cherubim set the presence of God. And only the high priest could go in. But the Hebrew writer reminds us that Jesus is our high priest today. He is our high priest forever. And what did our high priest do? He tore down the wall of separation. So now it's not just the high priest that can enter. Jesus is the high priest. We all, as priests of our God, can enter the Holy of Holies. We can enter because of Jesus Christ and be in the presence of God. Here at this well that Jesus had to go to, that He had to go through Samaria to get to, He found this lady perhaps with walls. And what did He do? He asked her for a drink of water. By doing that, He tore down any walls of separation. Why? Because Jesus was a Jew. She was a Samaritan. There was no more race. There was no more division. There was no more separation. Jesus wasn't gossiping about her. Jesus wasn't talking about her. He was bridging a gap by extending a hand, asking for a drink of water. Maybe you have some walls in your life. Maybe there's some things in your life that because you've been hurt, you've built a wall. Maybe people have tried to get to you and come to know you, but you've got this wall. You're guarded around your heart. You're guarded around your life. And you don't really want to let anyone in. Well, I want you to know Jesus Christ wants to tear down those walls. He wants in. He wants to be in your life today. But you know what else we learn about this lady who just happened to be at the same place Jesus was, right? In this providential guidance here. We learn, thirdly, that she had questions. Let's look back at the text now in verses 9 through 12 of John 4. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, talking to Jesus, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Verse 10. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked Him and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? This lady came to the well to draw water. She encounters this stranger who we know is Jesus Christ, who is a Jew, who's asking her for water, and you better believe she has some questions. I don't blame her, do you? I don't believe that Jesus blamed her either. Question number one, how do you, a Jew, ask a drink from me? See, if that was a wall of separation, if that's a reason why she comes to the well at 12 instead of early in the morning, maybe that was a fair question, because she's been maybe hurt by racism or knew at least of it in her life. And she says to him, Jesus, a Jew, me a Samaritan, why would you ask me for this? Her other question was this, where do you get that living water? And then she asked the third question, are you greater than Jacob, the man who drank from this well? See, she had questions. I'd imagine some in here have had questions for our Lord in the past. Where were you, Lord, when I was going through those hard times? Where were you, Lord, when that loved one of mine died? Where were you, Lord, when I lost my child? Where were you, Lord, when I received the news of this disease? Or how about this one? Why me, Lord? Why did you choose me to bear this burden? Why is it me that I'm going through this? What am I supposed to do about it, Lord? Where do you want me to go, Lord? Are you there, Lord? Question after question after question. And I want you to understand something. God understands we have questions. I think we would not be human if there were not times in our lives when we were going through something and we were praying as hard as we could and we were worshiping as hard as we could and we were reading our Bible as hard as we could and we still went through something difficult. I think it would be understandable at times, right? For us to ask God, why? Jesus didn't destroy the woman. He didn't cast her out of His presence. He answered her questions. Today you might have come in here just like that lady with a lot of questions. But ultimately, you know what the answer to all of that lady's questions were? Jesus Christ. You know who the answer to every one of our questions are today is today? Jesus Christ. He is the reason for everything. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made through Him. When God looked and He said, let us make man in our image, He was looking over at His Son, Jesus Christ, way back before man was ever created. You see, all things have come through Jesus Christ. And so if we truly want to know the answer to everything that we have struggles with in life, it comes through Jesus Christ. Today in our Bible class, we looked at 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. There is three short, powerful verses there that really gives us the solution to everything. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in every circumstance give thanks, for this is the will of God. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks. But see, that's not easy to do if we're a babe in Christ. It's not easy to do if we're not far in our journey. It takes maturity. It takes growing. It takes strength. So if you've had questions, it's understandable. But I want you to know that Jesus, He has answers. He is the answer. Fourthly, though, we learn about this lady. the Samaritan woman at the well. She had a past. Look at verses 13 through 17. Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water," he's talking about Jacob's well water now, "whoever drinks of this water will thirst again." Joey Mora got thirsty again. Right? We drink and we quench our thirst, but we get thirsty again. That's what Jesus is saying. You're going to drink of this water, but eventually you'll get thirsty again. Verse 14, "But whoever drinks of the water that I," he's the answer, "I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, I have no husband." The reason Jesus said, "You have well said that I have no husband," is because this lady had 5 ex-husbands and a live-in boyfriend. You know what I'd say that says about her? That she certainly had a past. Why didn't she answer Jesus? Maybe she didn't fully believe and understand who He was just yet. I think that's reasonable. But I think it's a little deeper than that. I think because of her past, she was embarrassed. I am sure she was ashamed. Maybe she had become desperate to find happiness. And so that's why she searched from man to man to man to man. And it's unfortunate, isn't it? Rejoice always, that means true joy, not temporary happiness, only comes from Jesus Christ. This lady was trying to find joy. She was trying to find true joy, and I believe she was looking in all the wrong places. She tried to find it with this man, and 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 she couldn't find it. She's only going to find it with the man who is there at the well. That's where true joy comes from. Perhaps it was because of this past that she built those walls. Perhaps it's because of her past that she came to the well alone. Perhaps it's because of her past that that's why she came at the time that she did. I am sure there were times she felt hopeless. I am sure there were times in her life she felt most miserable. But you know where Jesus met her at? He met her at the well. Right where she was. Jesus had to go through Samaria. He had to get tired and rest by Jacob's well around the middle of the day. Because this woman was coming to the well alone, desperate, with walls, and miserable. You see, Jesus will meet you, and He will meet me right where we are. She had a past, and Jesus knew about her past, but He still met her at the well. The adulterous woman, a few chapters over, is caught in the very act of adultery. Maybe she didn't even have any clothes on. She was drugged there to be stoned to death, not because they really cared about the law, but because they were trying to trap Jesus Christ. But after He drew in the sand, and after He sent them out one by one, He looked at that lady, and He said, "Woman, where are your accusers? Neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more. He met her right where she was. She had just been caught in the very act of adultery. This woman has had exit and a live-in. And He met her right where she was. Did Jesus in any of that glorify their sins? No way. But He met them where they were. But He wanted them to be different. Today, I don't know what your past is. I don't know what your walls are. I don't know what your life is. But Jesus Christ does. Whether you told Him or not, just like this woman, He knows. He knows what you're going through. He knows your struggles. He knows your past. But He's not here to destroy you. He's not here to judge you. He's here to love you. He's here to help you. And He's here to quench your thirst. This woman, this Samaritan woman, she had come to the well alone with walls, with questions, with a past. But you know what it really boiled down to? She came to the well because she needed water. She needed water. Look at verses 27 and 28, John 4. And at this point, His disciples came and they marveled that He talked with a woman. Yet no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and then it says, said to the men, and it carries on. But did you see that in verse 28? Remember why she came to the well, right? Why did she come to the well in the first place? She came with a water pot to draw water. She needed water. But what happened in the end? She left the very water pot that she brought to get water there, and she left. And she went back into the city. Today, I want you to think about what that water pot represented. In my view, that lady, by leaving her water pot there with Jesus at the well, she left her loneliness with Jesus. She left her walls of separation with Jesus. She left her uncertainty with Jesus. She left her past with Jesus. And she left her water with Jesus because she exchanged it for living water. Today, why did you come to the well? Some of you say, because I come every time the doors are open. But then there are others that you may be thinking that today you just felt like you had to come to the well. No matter what reason you came today, don't leave with the same water pot you brought. Leave here with living water. Living water flowing from above through the Spirit of never-ending love. And I'm the first to declare my longing thirst for the water that comes from above. Living water leads me to my goal. Now refreshing and cleansing my soul. Truly I'm alive and I know I can't survive without it, the pure waters flow. Give me water from the well that never runs dry. Give me water from the well that gives me hope when I die. Give me water from the well that never runs dry, and I will thirst no more. Today, if you have never experienced the living water, let me remind you that behind this wall is a pool of water. And in that pool of water, you can walk this aisle today, confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you can be immersed in that water for the forgiveness of every sin you've ever committed. You see, because it's in that water that God goes to work. In that water, God takes the blood of Jesus and He contacts your soul with it. And because of the blood of Jesus, the same one who was at the well, the same one who told that lady, "Today I will give you living water," there will come a moment in time when you will not worship me in a temple. You will worship me wherever you want to worship me, because you're going to worship in spirit and in truth. And we're here today because He had to go through Samaria. The same Jesus that gave that lady living water is the same Jesus that will give it to you today. If you have a need, won't you come right now together? We stand and sing.